Chapter 6. Note. Summon Zaimon. Check. Caris was in no place to do this now, but there was no way she could avoid it, either. She'd rejected Zaimon at birth. If she repeated the insult now, on this horrible night of all nights, there was no way he'd ever forgive her. Forgiving herself was already out of the question.
"Hi, mistress,"
Gil Grayling said. He must have pulled a double to be still on duty. Note, accelerate promotion of new blackguards even at the cost of quality. Trainer Fisk, Commander Fisk now, would howl, but she would help him pick out those with a natural gift. The Nunks would have to learn as they fought. It would mean more dead, but having veteran blackguards who were constantly exhausted would mean more dead too, and if they lost too many veterans, the whole force would be degraded for decades. Let the young die so the old can sleep. Damn it. She motioned for Gil to open the door. It had been too long a day, but if it had been a long day for her, it had to have been nightmarish for Zaimon. He'd been called on, so soon after arriving at Big Jasper, to perform the freeing. 75 old drafters had submitted to his knife today.
Caris couldn't imagine what he must be feeling.
Gil didn't obey immediately, giving her a few extra moments to pull herself together and nearly commenting on her state. Despite his newness, Gil was going to be an excellent blackguard, she could tell. The best of them didn't look out only for their charge's physical well-being. Then, mollified, he opened the door. Zaimon Guile was 17 years old, though he looked older, dressed in his Prism Elect's finery. Stylishly combed black hair, broad shoulders, blue eyes already tinged with a rainbow of colours, a broad nose, and the devastating good looks that seemed the Guile inheritance.
"Hi, lady,"
he said, his bow flowing smoothly into his kneeling and touching her foot in obeisance. He looked up at her and swallowed.
"Mother."
She stared at him, somehow unable to move, to respond. He looked so like his father's family, a dark mirror to their good looks. Could he not look like her a little? If he resembled her more, would that make this meeting easier or harder?
"Zaimon,"
she managed. She took his hand and helped him stand. He mistook her pulling and hugged her immediately. She froze up, but he didn't notice.
"Mother, Mother, I was so afraid you'd not want to see me."
His voice quavered on the edge of tears. She couldn't move, couldn't speak. He stepped back, getting control of himself. He dabbed at the corners of his eyes to dry tears she hadn't even seen.
I'm sorry, he said. I was out of line. That was inappropriate. Forgive me, High Lady.
Forgive him? The words Caris had barely summoned were snatched from her throat.
No,
she'd meant to say no son, but she couldn't force the words past her lips.
No, the offence is mine. I know your day has been much, much harder than my own.
He looked at her blankly for half a moment.
Yes, yes, I don't really know how I'm supposed to feel about today.
You don't have to feel how you're supposed to, Zaimon, she said. How do you feel? He searched her face, then looked away. How did Father do it?
With immense loathing and terrible guilt, Caris said. But speaking confidentially, of course, Gavin's faith in Orholm and the Chromeria itself was never strong. He had trouble believing Orholm would ask for the killing of innocents, whatever they'd sworn or whether they'd agreed to it. It tore his soul every time. I didn't know if maybe it was easier for you because you're younger or maybe have more faith than he did.
Only wish I did, Mother. I wanted to be strong for you. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
He heaved a great sigh.
I've been trying not to think about it, but it's good to honor Orholm in this, right?
He looked up at her as if to check her reaction.
I'm just really amazed at the faithfulness of those who I freed to the light today. They're like heroes to me. The self-sacrificing purpose with which they came to this day was so inspiring, and if I hadn't been coached so well, I couldn't have done my little part.
Caris didn't know what it was, but something felt off in his response. He'd killed 75 people today. What was the appropriate response to that? The mind is fickle.
She'd seen men who'd learned their entire families had been murdered by whites actually laugh because they simply couldn't believe it. Soldiers made rude jokes about the bodies of their dead mates. Medics laughed about spurting blood and diarrhea. When life is outrageous, the only appropriate response is an inappropriate one. But an appropriate response muted? "Mother," he said suddenly, swallowing. He whispered harshly. "I killed them." He convulsed on a sob barely contained. "All those people." She felt herself suddenly warm. He'd been trying to play strong for her. Of course that was it. Thrown into a world he didn't understand, with rules he didn't comprehend, and subjected to incredible demands, he'd had to pretend. He went on in a rush. "I tried to tell myself that it was for the best, that they were going to meet Orhorum, that I should envy them, but it was my hand on the knife. I never asked for this. I never knew how hard this would be." She pulled him close and hugged him to her. He dissolved into her arms. He wept quietly for a minute and then pulled back, putting a brave face on. "Can we not speak of that again?" Holding on to his arms, she said, "Only this, Simon. You honoured Orhorum and those brave drafters by what you did, and me. You did right." He bowed his head, pursed his lips under the weight of his emotion, and nodded. "Thank you," he said quietly. "I'm sorry we had to meet like this, High Lady. And I didn't mean to talk all about myself. You've just ascended to the chair. Congratulations are in order." "Thank you," she said. She finally let go of him. It was as if she were slightly out of her body as she looked at him. What was she looking for? Herself?
He was a 17-year-old man. Not an infant, where you pick this trait from his mother and that from his father.
"Oh, look, he has a nose, like his mother does. Oh, look, he has two eyes, like his father does. What a coincidence." But the very thought of a father made her think of Gavin. Gavin, dear Orhorum. There had been no word all day, no word of where he was. It was as if he'd been spirited away, as if she'd never dragged his half-blind ass back from the Hippodrome in wrath. No word about Maricia either. The bitch. Caris would be meeting with the banker Turgul Onesto soon to see if he might help in tracking Maricia, but she hadn't been able to fit that in today with all the other emergencies. She put on a smile to push both thoughts away. Simon hadn't noticed.
"I'm really proud of you, Mother," he said. "The white. Don't they usually pick old crones for that? And you're hardly that. I mean, you're older for a drafter, maybe, but not old, old. And so beautiful."
He was not quite gifted with a Giles's golden tongue, was he? Even Kip did better than that. But then, if he hadn't gotten the guile charm, from which parent had he inherited that deficiency? And he was a young man, trying to impress, and he'd been through so much. She had to make allowances.
Underneath all his bravado and awkwardness, he was probably furious with her for her abandonment and her distance, but wanting her approval, too. She was asking too much of him, even having him meet her today. It took all the bravery in her heart to go straight at the issue, as Gavin would have.
"Let's get this out of the way, shall we?" she said. "Mother? I didn't want to leave you, Simon, but I couldn't bear to keep you either. I had no prospects and no friends, or so I thought. And I was ashamed. Not ashamed of you, but ashamed nonetheless, for all the wrong reasons. But I want you to know that it wasn't your fault. I didn't leave for anything you did."
His lip quivered, and he looked away, blinking. Orhorum have mercy. Her heart broke again.
"No, I know that," he said. "I mean, how could it be my fault? I was just a baby, right?
I hadn't done anything yet, good or bad, right?
I mean, I don't know, maybe your pregnancy was really bad, and you blamed me for it or something. I thought about it a lot. I just wanted to know if it had been something I'd done, or if I seemed like some sort of monster to you for some reason."
Whatever leash she'd held on her emotions slipped through her fingers. She turned her back. How could he have thought that? How could he not? But he kept talking, quickly, always quickly.
"I mean, they told me I was a cute baby, but I didn't know what you thought of me. They didn't like that I was handsome, actually. At least that's one of the things they beat me for. They said I was a burden. They said I thought I was better than them. It was a lie. I just wanted to fit in. I just wanted to be accepted by someone, anyone. It all got worse when it turned out I could draft. I could show you the scars if you want. Did you get any of the letters I sent you? They said they'd send them on. They promised. They lied about so many things, but I was certain they were telling the truth about sending my letters.
Every dream she'd had for her son, every hope she'd nourished, that he would be protected,
loved, that he would grow up knowing both a mother and a father, it all burnt and broke at once. Every nightmare from her long nights stepped fully armed from the waves in an instant, invading the beachhead her fears had captured in her mind and setting up camp along the whole coast. She'd wanted to let herself off the hook all these years. He was with a good family, she told herself. The Ashes were her cousins and had been close with her branch of the family for generations. She'd thought he would be far from wars and danger, that he would be loved and nurtured. But that was all a fantasy, wasn't it? That her abandonment had somehow been beneficial to him, and not just a selfish sloughing off of a problem onto someone else. Now that hook eviscerated her. She fell to her knees, barely able to breathe through her sobs.
Mother, mother, please, he said,
and it was as if he was speaking to her from far away. She thought she knew Devon and Karen Ash. They'd seemed to be such good people, but then the real monsters had an uncanny ability to hide right in plain sight, didn't they?
Mother, please don't turn away again, Zaimon said.
She beckoned him to come to her. He was there instantly, sitting on the floor with her, burying his head in her chest. He was taller than she was, even sitting, so it was an awkward movement, but she thought she understood. He had never been comforted by a mother. Of course he would want to act like a little boy. She brushed his hair with her fingers, and a tiny ray of sweetness penetrated all the bitterness. He nuzzled his head in against her breast.
Mother, please, I'm so afraid of you rejecting me. No, never, she said, never again. Will you promise me you'll keep me close, that you'll never send me away?
I swear it, she said.
You swear to Ur-Hulam? You swear on your hope of the light?
It was a burden, and it invited future pain. It invited the possibility of the kind of hurt that she'd pushed away when Kip had made his innocent joke calling her mother. She'd failed Kip then. She'd not fail Zaimun now.
I swear to Ur-Hulam, by all that is holy, by all my power and light.
And finally, as that oath passed her lips, as she finally felt that she had done one good thing for him in her life, even if it was only utter some words, something loosened in her chest and her throat allowed her to say the word that had been denied her too long.
I swear it, son.